Good morning. My desire today is to accomplish two things. First thing that we're going to talk about is giving us hope. And the second thing is I also want us to be prepared for what might possibly lie in the future. You know, I can choose to have a low opinion of myself. I could call myself despicable. I could be ashamed of things that I have done. I could be embarrassed about the life that I've lived. I could be humiliated by what someone may accuse me of. All these things could happen, and I could still have hope. The Apostle Paul referred to himself as the least of the apostles. Said he was not even worthy to be called an apostle. He murdered Christians. The apostle Peter denied his Savior three times. Both of these men were forgiven and made apostles in the Lord's church, I believe for a reason. It was so that all could see that no matter how despicable I am at some point in my life, there is still hope for me. If I give myself up to the Lord. I believe it was planned to use people with obvious mistakes in their lives to give you hope for yourself. Sir. I'm going to repeat the two things I want to accomplish is to give you hope and convince you to be prepared for the rest of your life. I'd like to read in Matthew the 10th chapter, verse 32 and 33. Therefore, whoever can, this is Jesus speaking to his audience. He says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Peter denied Christ three times. Does that mean that Jesus is going to deny Peter to his Father? No. Peter made a mistake. Peter had time to repent from the mistake. He did not die in his sin. For a moment, Peter chose the wrong team. He was selfish and he chose to play for himself at that moment in life when he was challenged. He tried to save his own skin, and he could have lost his soul. Jesus says so right there in Matthew. If he had stayed unrepentive of what he had done. Now Judas chose the wrong team. And we are given the impression from the scriptures that he did lose his soul. First Corinthians 15th chapter, verse 9, I'd like to read to you. And it's unfortunate that we can't read in the emotion that Paul had to have as he acknowledged these words. It's what I referred to a while ago. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. So we know we have at least two men who became apostles. At one point in their life, they denied Christ being the Son of God, or denying associating with him. And Christ forgave them. Now let's wait a minute. Are there others? Let's turn to Mark, the 14th chapter, verse 27. Jesus is meeting with, at that time, they were called his disciples in the last days before the crucifixion. And Jesus said to all these disciples, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. So it wasn't just Paul, it wasn't just Peter, but all 12 of Jesus' disciples ran and abandoned him. Didn't want to be seen with him. For a moment, they chose their own self-preservation. In life, there's going to be many times where we have to pick sides, and it may not be easy. The generation that fought World War II is almost all gone. My mother and my father were at the tail end of the age. My dad was in the last year of the war, but never seen action. But that generation is often referred to as the greatest generation in United States history. And I believe we don't teach enough history today to keep us from repeating the mistakes in history. So it's now possible that our country could change. Our country endured 12 years of depression to toughen us up to endure a world war and win it. Thus, they are called the greatest generation. But we now need to prepare to represent our team no matter what happens. And we represent Christ with whatever the future holds for us. Joyce and I never planned on moving. But I sold our dream house last November, and we've moved back to the farm. At 70 years of age, because I don't like the direction our country is headed. We gave up our dream house so that we could prepare for what might lay ahead. I believe if the Lord doesn't come soon, that Christians are going to be tested. And we're going to be asked, whose team are you on? Will you be brave enough to give the right answer? I want to have my own water supply. I want to be able to grow my own food for my family so I can keep my family on the Lord's team and not be forced to choose whether someone will allow me to have water and food or if they will ask me to deny my Savior before I get it. Joshua 24, verse 15 is a verse that I have on my business card because I want people to know whose team I'm on. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I believe there could be a day coming where it will be hard for some people to admit what team they want to be on. And Jesus has already told us in the passage we read earlier, if you deny him, he will have to deny you. What kind of world do we live in? Where people are asked, who or what do you identify with? Are you a boy? Are you a girl? Are you a dog? Are you a cat? I believe the day will come where you will have to say whether you are a Christian or you're a chicken. The early church had such a choice to make. They had to choose their identity. And many of them that chose to identify as a Christian were fed to the lions to entertain the people in the Colosseum. And would you still be on Christ's team if you watched someone from your family be fed to the lions? Would that make you bow to Caesar? The church survived in the early centuries because those around Rome had to be driven underground and live in the catacombs so they could physically survive the persecution. One of my favorite stories is in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verses 16 through 30. We had a king, Nebuchadnezzar, who demanded the people believe the way that he believed. And there were three men that were righteous servants of God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and no matter what the consequences were, they were not going to join Nebuchadnezzar's team. Even though they were part of servants to the king, they were brought before Nebuchadnezzar and they said, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it had ever been heated. And the men that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego died from being the extra heat of the furnace. But yet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were honored by God for their willingness to give their lives that they not lose their identity of belonging to the Lord. Daniel faced a similar fate and was cast into the lion's den when he would not stop praying when there was a commandment against it in order to trap him. Mordecai would not bow to Haman and risk destroying the entire Jewish nation. But he believed that the Lord would provide a way for him. Do you believe that if you're put into this situation, that the Lord will provide a way for you? If your faith is challenged. In my parents' generation, there was a new world order that came to rise called the Third Reich, Nazism. Hitler was the new ruler. He didn't ask people to bow to him, but if you didn't salute him and say, Heil Hitler, your life was probably in danger. So what if somebody, this is all supposition, so you don't have to agree with this next thing I'm going to say, but There are those today, in my opinion, that have justified in their mind that they need to save us from ourselves. And they want to make changes within our country and the world. I won't get into the politics of all this. But they believe, they have justified in their own minds that what they're doing is the right thing. And one of the things that I want you to think about is the fact that if some of these people get their way, that things could change with our currency to make it digital, that people can control everything that you do, when you can buy gas. And if you don't believe with their socialistic viewpoint, you won't be able to financially function. So that we are $34 trillion in debt. It's unsustainable. I won't get into the other factors that are playing in the world situation that could domino us into making me feel like Christians are going to have a challenge if the Lord doesn't come soon. I believe that the Lord will make a way for me. I believe that what I'm doing gives my family the best chance of surviving what might lay ahead. And I'm reminded in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 17, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord. The future could have a day where you have to decide whether you'll have the marks of the Lord or the mark of the beast. You can go ahead and call it science fiction, but I've already seen and heard things in the last 5 years that I could have never dreamed possible. And today they're for real. If I see a child getting ready to touch a hot stove, I want to warn them. If I see a Christian that might face danger, I want to warn them. That is the point of asking you to consider being prepared to better represent Christ in the future if challenges lay ahead. The book of Daniel talks about the rise and fall of different kingdoms throughout world history. And we have been blessed to live in the United States of America during your lifetime up to this point when our country has been on top of the world. But world history has shown every great kingdom, every great country eventually falls. And the United States of America will eventually fall unless Jesus comes first. If he returns again, if the Lord delays his coming, this country may not be the same as what you remember it today. So the question of the day is, if it happens in your lifetime with the trillions of dollars of debt that our country has made ourselves unstable with, what if an atheist government takes over? Whose team will you be on? And if you're hungry and thirsty and you have to decide whether to eat or deny Christ, which one will it be? Joseph Stalin did that in Russia and he made religion illegal. I can't say that Putin has done much different. And China frowns upon religion as well. And perhaps it won't be an atheist government, but it could be a Muslim government where they will demand that you become Muslim or die. So the world could be a different world in our future. How strong a soldier are we? In sports, we often hear of athletes trash talking to players on the other team. You can't do this. You're pathetic. Who was the first trash talker? Wasn't it the devil? Right from the very beginning, trash talk has evolved to what we think of as trash talk today. Wasn't what it was in the beginning. But he told Eve, you're not going to die, silly girl. You're not going to die. And even in a conversation with God himself and God brought up how dedicated his servant Job was. The devil belittled that assessment and said, well, you got a fence belt around him. What do you expect? Nothing can ever happen to the man. But the one that really gets my attention is in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, where Jesus relays a message to someone. About what the devil thinks of him. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Satan didn't believe that Peter was strong enough to be a good soldier for Christ. And he wanted to show how weak Peter was. And he did. What's Satan want to do with you? Does he know your weaknesses? I think he does. Mark chapter 14. Verses 29 through 31. Jesus had just told the 12 that they were all going to stumble, which we read just a little bit earlier. But Peter says to Jesus, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But Peter spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. I'm not much of a Mike Tyson fan, but he was always famous for being quoted. It says, everybody's got a plan till they get punched in the face. When you get challenged about your religion, are you really a Christian? Will you be strong enough to say, yes, I am? Have you ever heard of the guy in World War II who fought for the United States one day and then Japan the next day? Fought for the Japanese and then the following week he switched back to the United States? As far as I know, that never happened. But isn't it the same thing as a Christian serving God on Sunday, then following his own desires on Monday? Switching sides, who he's fighting for, and then show back up for Jesus on the following Sunday. It's the same scenario. Matthew 6:24 says, you cannot serve God and man. You have to pick which team you're on. Matthew, the 10th chapter, we read in 32 and 3, if you deny Christ, he will deny you. Choose your team and stay with it. And as Joshua was told, be strong and courageous. We do not know what the future lies ahead for each one of us, but I urge you to be prepared that you don't have to switch teams in the heat of the battle. We started our lesson off saying that there is hope. There is hope. As long as you have a breath, if you need to make correction, you have that ability to do it and stay on the Lord's team. Peter made correction. Paul made correction. All those men that were disciples that became apostles, they all were flawed men. They all made mistakes, just like you. That doesn't mean you have to stay there. We all have hope. You have hope as we stand and sing.